Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact through our state through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses, and we're the largest local business coalition in the country, providing resources to 3,000 small businesses in Arizona. We are super pleased and excited to have our guest today, Alexi Veneri, the co-founder of Digital Airstrike. Alexi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas. I'm excited to be here.
Fantastic. Well, we are excited to hear about everything that you guys have going on. I've been familiar with some of your team and your staff for several years, and we're just excited to learn a little bit more about the company and what you're doing. So for those listening that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself and Digital Airstrike and what you guys do.
Sure. Well, you know, we started in another challenging time in our, you know, economy during the recession. At the end of 2009, we started. And that may seem like kind of a crazy time to decide to start a technology company here in Arizona, but it is what happened at the time. I was running a large agency and no one had budgets. People didn't, you know, have money to spend on advertising, but businesses still needed to move forward. And that's where, talking to some colleagues that I knew, we thought about, you know, what's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference for businesses? And at the time, social media was just in its infancy, just really starting. And I said, you know, we need a way to make social media easier for business owners. This is before business pages, you name it, right? So we decided to look for and build technology to help connect consumers to businesses. And ultimately, that expanded into a full platform of consumer engagement technology tools so that, you know, consumers can have an easier time doing research and buying and engaging from businesses online using digital means. So that's been really exciting. We've grown through that recession. Now into the pandemic, we've got about 5,000 businesses that work with us. Wow. And it's been interesting. We've been able to keep our company here in Scottsdale. I think we were one of the first technology companies founded here. Certainly one of the first founded by a female. You know, we've really kept our promise to be, you know, really Arizona first. We employ about 160 individuals, and we've really got a nice sized technology team where, you know, 10 years ago, that was kind of unheard of. I'm so pleased that we've got more, you know, tech companies here in the Valley. But at the time, we were kind of known for call centers, you know, and not that many entrepreneurs may be starting technology companies here. So we're really pleased with what we do. Ultimately, we really think we help consumers have a better experience, especially when they're making large purchases. Mm-hmm. One of our biggest verticals is automotive. So if you're, you know, looking to buy a new vehicle, we've got tools and technology you may not even know exist behind the scenes, hopefully helping to make that shopping experience a little easier for you.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. One of the biggest things that I'm Arizona native, super proud of, is hearing more and more stories about homegrown tech companies. You know, we've got you, we've got Design Pickle, we've got Nextiva, Keep. It seems like we're actually growing a real infrastructure, not just for small technology companies, but for growing larger, super successful technology companies in Arizona, which really proves that you don't have to be in California to do it. You can actually do it here.
Right. And it's interesting. It wasn't easy. In the beginning, I started it and we did a merger with a company in Silicon Valley. And I inherited some venture capitalists on my board. And mm-hmm. they just maybe assumed that with the merger, we would then, you know, relocate maybe to San Jose, which is where they were based. You know, this was about 8 years ago. It was, you know, definitely I had to make my case to keep the company here. But I continually found we have great talent here. I think it's very business friendly. I love our state. I think we're nicely in the middle, as you kind of maybe saw recently with the election. But a lot of common sense seems to prevail, right? We tend to be, like I said, business friendly, and there's a lot more talent coming here. We've been able to recruit talent to move here. I just like the culture. I think the business community is very supportive and collaborative, maybe because overall we've been historically smaller in terms of technology, but I just really enjoy it. And, you know, the... The cost of living is lower. I mean, all those things that we all know. So it's been very, very good for us. But we really, you know, the thing I'm most proud of is actually giving back. And even during the pandemic, you know, we are still hiring. We've been able to certainly kind of weather the pandemic storm. And in fact, you know, in some regard, our tools and technology are more important now as people are looking to do more things virtually. But very proud of where we started and where we're going to stay.
Love it. So there were two things that you mentioned in your opening. One was that, you know, a lot of the things that we experience as consumers, there's a lot actually happening in the background that maybe we don't know about what we're experiencing. And the other was, you know, kind of your focus on auto and the evolution of that. So I want to dig into both of them, but the first one first. So what are some of those things that we experience as consumers that there's actually a lot of work and technology and things happening in the background that make the experience hopefully more pleasurable or easier for us? Do you have any examples of what we might experience?
Sure. I'll give you some of our secrets. Where we really started was we were monitoring for consumer sentiment. So even if, you know, a car buyer checked in at a dealership, we actually partnered with some companies and ultimately built our own monitoring tool where we would know that, let's say, Jonathan checked in at, you know, ABC Infinity. And we would kind of monitor for that activity. If you had a negative experience and you talked about it online and we could pick that up, we would actually alert the business owner if they were one of our clients and say, hey, Jonathan's not happy. You know, he might actually be sitting there in your dealership right now. Maybe go check on this situation or have the business owner or manager of the business pick up the phone and call you or reach out to you if you were in their database, right? That was usually just one of those moments of surprise. People wouldn't expect that someone senior, maybe at a dealership, would think to do that. Oftentimes, I think with business, you know, the senior management's a little insulated sometimes from the day-to-day activities, that one-to-one consumer interaction. So we wanted to bring that back to the forefront and let them know, and not just about the negative experience, but when people are happy as well. And that evolved into business-specific surveys that could be sent out. And something that, again, most people don't know, it's not just an email survey that maybe you would send back. Based on how consumers would answer it, we actually have a notification system where, this is going back, you know, 7-8 years, we would text and alert the business owner based on criteria that they wanted to know. Again, it's not always when consumers want happy. It's sometimes when they're happy. You know, someone just gave you a 5-star and they're glowing and they maybe filled out the survey with this much text, which means there's a lot they had to say. And quite often the happy customers give the best suggestions. So we also wanted to pull out feedback almost like mini focus groups. So that's an area. And most people would never know that those surveys were coming from us or those alerts were happening. But I can tell you for our team, they are most pleased when consumers have a great experience because they would sometimes write a review like, I had no idea by asking a question on Facebook, this car dealer would be so responsive, and they'd be going on and on thanking that dealership, which of course they did handle it, but really it was our team behind the scenes, almost like air traffic controllers, kind of babysitting that consumer experience, making sure that somebody that could do something about it, good or bad, would take action. So that's one example. The other thing that our technology does that some people may not know is sometimes when consumers submit a lead, based on the type of vehicle that you inquire upon, we will actually use AI and technology to go out and search for similar vehicles, similar price points, similar like trim levels and features. You know, if you really wanted all-wheel drive, we'd make sure anything else that dealership markets back to you would kind of fit some of that criteria. And that happens all behind the scenes. And for the consumers, it may just seem like, wow, this salesperson was super responsive and sent me this email with 4 more cars. And they just don't know that it's our technology that actually built that email. Still engaged with the salesperson to say, let's say you work at the store, Jonathan, here's an email we want to send out to Sally based on her inquiry. Are you good with this? Do you want to edit it? But it can just go out directly from you. You would also, as the salesperson, get alerted. And it just cuts down on, I think, delays, kind of manual labor to go out and search for other inventory, you know, options. And again, that consumer gets a faster response, a better response, something that's very targeted to them. Last example, same thing with advertising on Facebook. I know there's debates sometimes around privacy and how that works. But honestly, for me, even as a consumer, if I'm going to see ads, and we are, it's not going to go away, right? I would like it to be more relevant. You know, I don't want something for AARP if that's not my age, my demographic, whatever, meaningful for me. Uh-huh. But if I just submitted a lead again for a certain infinity, and I might want to see the new incentives for financing around infinity and NAB, right? I might want to see something more relevant. So that's a lot of what happens too behind the scenes. I'm certainly still respecting all consumer privacy laws. And if you opt out of that, and if you change your settings online, but
right.
Again, it ultimately does seem like consumers, and we've tracked it for now over 10 years, they will give the manufacturers ratings. You'll get surveys, let's say from Infinity Corporate. And we've seen over time the satisfaction growing when our business clients use our tools, because again, that consumer has a more efficient process. They get better information in a more timely fashion. So those are a couple examples that, again, nobody knows what we do here in the Valley.
Right.
They maybe see our logo where we have a building here right by Fashion Square. But I take that as a compliment, because we're here to help that business maybe be more efficient, or lately, honestly, they maybe had to scale down in staff and they can't manually do all of these tasks, right? But they still need to keep the lights on and communicate with consumers. So we're pretty proud of the fact that our businesses are actually, I think, overall doing better because of our technology, and the consumers have a better experience.
I love it. I love it so much because, gosh, we hear time and time again in you know, different stories that, or just from family and friends, like people are sick of technology or they don't like the automation, and you know, they want things in real time and things like that. But really, I think that the right technology, right, makes the experience better for you. It makes the relationship between you and the business actually better, so that you can spend time on what you actually want to, rather than, you know, prolonging the situation or not getting what you want. And so I love the approach. It's awesome.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, we've now really expanded on omnichannel messaging. So another example would be, we've partnered for a while with Facebook, but with Facebook Marketplace, when businesses want to sell, you know, items online. In the past, if you didn't work with a company like us, if you were a consumer and you submitted a lead such as, hey, is this item available? I don't know if the business would get back to you. Those leads go into Messenger. And imagine a business having to remember to go into Messenger on their business account to respond to consumers, when consumers are so used to, you know, the one touch, is this available? You know, what's the price? Whatever. So again, we've got AI messaging bots that would go in and eliminate that confusion. So much of the questions are, is this still available, right? We could easily look at the inquiry on, let's say, a vehicle again, and then check their inventory in their dealer management system and immediately pretty much tell you the consumer if it's available. And guess what? We can then even message you other vehicles that might be similar. And you could even calculate prices all through our, you know, our chat bots, which again are very efficient. And full disclosure, we let them know this is the dealership chatbot answering you. And at any point you want a call or an email from an individual. But we sometimes find consumers don't want to talk to somebody at business at that first point in the funnel, right? You're just maybe doing some research. You don't want somebody calling you, you know, pressuring you in for a test drive when you're just trying to see what you want or what the payments might be. So again, those would be more examples where it's been fun for us to develop things that just didn't exist. I mean, think about it. Marketplace wasn't here a couple of years ago. You know, our initial launch of AI chat was really more for the website. And now it's evolved to integrate, like I said, across channels. That for our team is really fun and rewarding because we're kind of on the frontier, somewhat apropos being here in the Wild West, but we're on the frontier of a lot of these new ways to leverage tools, as you say, to make the experience better, not more big brother or not more intrusive, but actually more helpful.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So I want to talk about another thing that not only your team brought up when I was speaking to them before the conversation, but you alluded to a little bit. So obviously, you've talked a lot about auto being one of your focuses as an industry that you work with. When I think of an automotive purchase, and just being from personal experience over the last 6 months, I know that my wife is 95% of the decision in this process regarding color and type and all of these things. But I know that you've also been working a lot in trying to bridge that gap between the business and the individuals and new things like Pinterest and advertising on those platforms and things like that. So in an industry that tends to think that it's male dominated, how do you work within the technology space to bridge the gap to more of the actual demographic that might be actually making the decision in the process? What does that look like?
Right. That's a great question. Well, luckily I do fall in that demographic. So I've got my own first party research there, but we've always been very mindful, and it's been great that we're very data-driven. So literally from the beginning, we've been very fortunate to work with dealerships or manufacturers, or even outside of automotive. You know, we've got clients outside of automotive where we have access to data to kind of look at that. And that's why we would create a custom plan. It doesn't always make sense in every market or for every price point or every, you know, item that you're selling to certainly target every demographic, but to get a little smarter on that. So what we've done is really a nice blend. And, you know, our studies show that on average, females are really involved in at least about 65% of the purchases, if not more. It just kind of depends if they're an influencer or are they actually signing the paperwork. And sometimes you've got to look through that data. But ultimately, it's about, again, giving different demographics, you know, methods to make that decision to want to purchase. So, for example, on Pinterest, I think there's a great example there to really explain some features that maybe historically weren't as obvious, you know, something that may sound basic, but, you know, cup holders, you know, if you've got kids, is there somewhere for the sippy cup? Is there your, you know, your Starbucks cup? What's the layout? You know, how do the sunroofs work? Do the rear windows come down all the way? Or are they more child safety? Those things aren't typically explained very well on websites, for example, or even in quick, you know, traditional commercials. So some of these new mediums such as Pinterest allow us to really display more of that. We actually like to have our team even do our own kind of first party reviews. Something new that we're doing is we're actually working with our clients. I'll stick with the automotive example, but we're going out and looking at the vehicles ourselves, almost like our own consumer report. And our team is creating TikTok videos, and our team is actually doing, you know, walk around, they call them kind of walk arounds, where you actually walk around the outside, the inside. And we put that in our own video platform that then our clients can use, even if, you know, that's not their exact vehicle on their lot. It's the same brand, it's the same model, it's the same year. So we're just trying to, again, make it easier for the business as well. Because oftentimes they're running a business, they're doing 20 million things. Yeah. Do I really, as a salesperson, have time to go out and film every vehicle on my lot? But if we have the economies of scale where we know we work with so many dealerships of that brand, our team can do it. And it actually educates our team too to know more about it. A component of what we do is actually create content for social media. And it's very helpful for us to be able to actually really understand the products when we're going to go online and then talk about it. So that would be an example of how we're doing that. And then I think ultimately we put a lot of the communication in the hands of the consumer. So, you know, if they prefer chat, if they want things to be sent to them through Messenger, if they would rather, you know, certainly receive email information with photos of the vehicles and more pricing, we will do that as well. And I think by letting them guide it, versus maybe a little bit more of an aggressive sales approach with maybe male salespeople in dealerships, that doesn't always work for that female audience. So again, I think having more options and more technology to drive that really based on consumer preferences, make sure everybody has a better experience, right? You know, individuals, you only know your experience, and you're going to tend to human nature, communicate the way you like to be communicated to. Unfortunately, I don't think there's enough females that actually work in automotive, even though it's an amazing industry and there's a lot of opportunity. So, you know, it does tend to be maybe more of a male-centric approach with some of the individuals. And I really think our technology bridges that gap and appeals to a wide range of not only genders, but certainly age groups. Mm. You know, there's a lot of folks today that are now in market that are ready to buy, that it's maybe their first vehicle. Mm-hmm. And they definitely have different preferences. They don't want to pick up the phone and talk to a salesperson.
Right.
I've got younger cousins. They're not doing that. You know, they want to be, they love text and they want to, you know, get the information their way. So again, I think technology can really accommodate a wide range of targeting with the goal of, you know, it helps the business be more efficient, but certainly helps the consumer have a better experience.
For sure. For sure. So we've talked a lot about auto today, obviously. If, there's other businesses out there listening to this right now, what other industries would benefit from working with your company or utilizing the technology that you have?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. Basically, any industry where today, you know, everyone's a little concerned about where they're spending their money. Hopefully, their jobs secure. Hopefully we're going to be out of this pandemic sooner rather than later, but none of us really know, right? So I think consumers are very careful in terms of researching any higher ticket items. I would say things like, even education, they're thinking about going back to school. We've got clients that are in cosmetic dentistry, let's say, right? You're thinking about spending some money there. You're going to do your research. We've also seen, certainly around senior living, it's definitely a big concern, and our heart goes out to everyone that's been impacted, but you can no longer maybe just tour a retirement facility or community as easily, but you still want to know what's going on. And again, we've got some amazing video tools and an app where the people, let's say, at that community can take video. They can explain a lot more things using technology where before, maybe they didn't have to. Maybe it's no problem, come on and tour and we'll show you, you know, what it's going to be like for your mom or grandparents. And it's just not that easy anymore. So I think that is certainly an area where it's growing for us. We also did a partnership with GoDaddy, really for any business. We're actually offering use of our free video technology because we wanted to help them during these times. So really any business that is maybe struggling a little bit, how do I stay open? Well, there's a lot of ways you can stay open, and video can certainly help with that. So we're certainly happy to share that information again at no cost. And we, you know, we're really open to any business that could benefit from even just trying to use a bit more automation, trying to use some of these new technologies that could engage with consumers through social networks. Pretty much can always find a way to help them, you know, bridge that gap a little bit better. And again, it's almost become more relevant now because of the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one of the things you also touched on was content creation that you guys do for the clients that you work with. And I want to talk about that for just a minute as we near the end of our conversation here. But I was listening to, or actually watching, a video from an entrepreneur who was in a room with an older group of people and asked them to all raise their hands and say, who's on TikTok right now? Nobody raised their hands. And then he asked, who plans on getting on TikTok? Nobody raised their hands. And then he said, okay, 10 years ago, who thought the same thing about Facebook? And every single hand went up. So from my perspective, it's inevitable, you know, this platform is understood by a huge number of people and is used, most out of any social media platform now, even though it's still kind of foreign to a lot of people on social media. And the other day I was talking to a coffee shop who was really struggling in the midst of the pandemic and said, you know what, out of nowhere, some TikToker came in and took a video of our coffee shop. And the next day we had a huge surge in sales, and it's actually saved our business over the last 3 months from this platform. So kind of from your perspective, somebody who works with a lot of different businesses is doing content creation on this platform. What do you see as the evolution of that? What do you see as the need for businesses to prioritize or think about having content created on that platform as we move into 2021?
Right. Great question. I love hearing stories about that. Obviously, it wasn't just TikTok, it was an influencer probably that had a following, but that's very, very cool.
Right.
You can actually pay those people now, but I won't go there. You know, it sounds very similar. I'm having definitely deja vu. This was exactly as your example was back when people were like, should I be on Facebook? But Facebook is just for kids, or, you know, Snapchat. I mean, it goes on and on and on. What we like to do with business owners, because I think there is that pressure and a little stress that I can't keep up with all these things. What's going to be the next thing after TikTok? What else do I need to worry about? What about YouTube? A big thing now is streaming. You know, Amazon OTT, which stands for over the top, which most people don't know what that means, but it's that very targeted streaming ads that you get now when you're maybe a cord cutter and you're just doing streaming services like Hulu. We like to take the stress out of that. So one of the most effective presentations we ever have given in the past, and we still do, is we'll talk about either the top 10 new trends in social media or top 10 ways to engage with consumers. By about trend 4, business owners, you can see they're easily stressed. And, you know, I've got the advantage where I've got a whole team of people to keep on top of these trends. I don't personally TikTok myself, but I need to know how to use it for business, to your point. And we let them know, hey, we can help take that pain away. That's why we have a team of people. That's why we have people working with those networks. And not every network will work for you and your business right now, but at least you'll know that and let you focus on your business and let us focus on this. You know, just like back in the day, they wouldn't, you know, buy their own professional cameras and camera crews and necessarily film their own TV spots. They would hire someone to do that. So I like to let them know that, you know, there are people, certainly there's other vendors, not just us, but really look for help, because this is the new way you're going to communicate. And as a lifelong marketer, I love it because you do have a lot more control. You can target all those things that before you maybe did an ad on a radio station and maybe you kind of the demographic people that listen to it, but you couldn't target the way you can today. Now with streaming, with programs, podcasts, I mean, it's so amazing. So work with someone that'll help you get there and do that. And it's all about testing, right? And a lot of these platforms, certainly there's a way to get reach, like with an influencer. You can pay to be seen, absolutely. But a lot of it is just that content that's going to connect with those consumers. And it's getting that video, but then what do you do with it? Do you have a database of people? Do you have a loyalty program? Can you email or text those coffee shop consumers that have seen you in the past? Are you also pivoting and inventing new ways to maybe do curbside delivery or pickup or some new cool, you know, holiday latte that you could actually get delivered to a friend? Imagine that. Maybe start a new. So part of it's just the creativity of working with a creative shop and being in technology. I think, you know, I know we're very creative, so we love those kind of challenges. So instead of, I think, business owners being concerned or worried or what's the next thing or what do I do on TikTok, you just got to work with a partner, truly. And, you know, it's not just a moment in time where you got lucky because an influencer did a TikTok at your shop. There's other ways to then take that, harness it, and really extend that. So it's more of an actual plan to keep your business front of mind with consumers. And they are spending more time online than ever before. We could certainly share some stats around that because they are working from home. They are not going out as much socially. So now is the perfect time to test some new ways to reach consumers. And certainly also yourself, think of some new offerings. This is historic what's going on in the world right now. So get creative, find new ways to even, you know, still make things work regardless of what's happening with the virus, and then find new ways to get that message out there.
So insightful. I love it. Yeah, I run into so many business owners trying to do things themselves. And I mean, this is what other experts are doing, right, all day long. So rely on those that are doing this all the time. Look at the long game. I love it. Alexi, it was such a pleasure having you on the show today. We're so grateful for the partnership with your team. If there's a business out there listening and they want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to reach out to Digital Airstrike?
Sure. Just go to our website, digitalairstrike.com. Go to our Facebook page. We're very transparent. My email is right there on our website. We have ways to do free, we call it an intel report. So if a business owner is just curious about, hey, you know, what should I do with my online presence that could get me more traffic or more engagement? We do a free audit. We let them know what we're seeing and give them free ideas, even if they don't work with us long term. Again, we think it's really important to give back, certainly, especially with businesses here. It is a strong, small but strong community, and we're here to help everybody. So we'd love to hear from you and hear your ideas. And, you know, it is about, again, just always thinking about how do we engage with those consumers so that they have a better experience. I think if anybody thinks about that, really put yourself in the mind of your consumers, your audience, and how to get them information in maybe a new way. And you might be surprised at the results, because we definitely see that consumers, more than ever, even let's say, you know, you got grandmas and grandpas on Zoom. So they for sure are more open more than ever to engaging, I think, digitally.
Fantastic. Well, so appreciate all the insight and information today. If you want to get in touch with Digital Airstrike, you definitely can, digitalairstrike.com, or we'll leave the notes on this podcast. We hope those listening were inspired today, listening to a leader right here in Arizona working to leave a legacy through doing good business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Phoenix Business Radio X, for hosting us, and all of our legacy partners at Local First, including Digital Airstrike. This is Thomas Barr from Local First Arizona, reminding you that if we want to build a better state, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.